Hello to our dear viewers. Great to have you with us again. Hello, Rav Leica Lightman. Hello, everyone. Today we have a very gladdening theme called happiness. Even the theme itself. Okay, so usually a person, he goes to work in the morning, he's bothered by many things. If we'll really count how long was he happy throughout life, I don't think it would be that useful. And the theme of spirituality and the wisdom of Kabbalah and so on, we always talk about wholeness, perfection, and so on. What are you so happy about? Okay, first of all, let's put it this way. Whoever comes to Kabbalah, he's not happy. I haven't seen a person who comes to some place as a result of happiness. Because happiness is a symbol of, I feel good, wholeness, perfection. If I feel good, then why should I look for anything else? I feel good where I am. You can go and have a good time as a result of happiness, but not go someplace, search for the meaning of life and so on, if it's a good and full life. And a gladdening one too. So, what's happening is that, of course, the people who arrive are people that are not happy. And when they learn what's going on in their lives, why are we here in this world, what's going on, and so on, that while being in this world, you can reveal the upper world. That's the theme of the wisdom of Kabbalah in definition. It's the method of the revelation of the Creator to a person in this world. That while I'm in this world, I can reveal for myself the upper force, the upper worlds. I don't have to die for that. I don't have to cross to any other state. But here and now. And when a person hears about that, then he becomes happier. I see that it really gladdens him. It's really possible to reach a state where that people will feel the essence of life. What does one live for? What is the secret of life? He can reveal for himself not only what happens to him now, but what happened to him also in the past, to somehow understand the future. He can transcend time. And also that he reaches, that he becomes free of the angel of death, that he achieves freedom of the angel of death, where he transcends the matter of death. What does that mean, transcend? Kabbalists don't die. The body dies, but while a person lives still in this body, he acquires a soul, and then the death of the soul, it comprises no tragical state, and thus his happiness, it's an eternal one. It's a happiness as a result of being connected to wholeness, perfection, fulfillment in all one's desires. Actually, what we need is here and now to achieve the realization of the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is to reach the good that does good, the utter good. And even if we're on our way towards that and we taste a bit of, then that already fulfills a person with happiness, gladness, beyond anything that he has and can imagine in this world. But on the way, what does this happiness come from? If a person still hasn't reached it. So our path is divided into several states. The first state is that we are in this world. The next state is that from this world we get a point in the heart. We want to reach something, and then we ascend to the next state. The next state, it means the time of preparation. What does that mean? I reach a group, the study, and then from all this, I am already undergoing a certain process. Throughout this process, do I have happiness? That's the big question mark about the happiness. here in this life, I can write that there is really no happiness. A person, usually we see this even from statistics, from this world, most of the people are in depression. That depression is the number two illness in the world. In 10 years' time, it will be the number one illness in the world. And then, as a person crosses the machsom, the barrier, and enters into the feeling of the spiritual world, he enters a state called chofetz chesed. He acquires the degree called bina. And here he really has gladness, happiness, as a result of being connected to bestowal, meaning he is in freedom. He's free. And afterwards, he crosses on to a state called love. Here it's really the feeling of infinity, and here it's happiness, really whole, full happiness. We see here that we're advancing in a very special manner. There's no happiness in the beginning. Happiness is under question mark during the period, during the transitional period, which we have here. And afterwards, we have happiness as a result of being free. It's not whole, full happiness, but nonetheless, it fulfills me somehow. And the whole happiness is that I eventually reach a state of love. So let's put it this way. These are the people who came to the group, came to study. They came to a certain acquaintance with the wisdom of Kabbalah. They hear it for the very first time on television. They have already a kind of a belonging to this direction. And then they could say that they have an opportunity to come out of our state, of the state of this world. There's nothing darker or worse than that, into a transitional state, which is the time of preparation. And by the study and the group, he reaches a state where from that point and on, they break into spirituality. And spirituality, this is here. The spirituality. And up to the barrier, it's still corporeality. What brings happiness in the spiritual world? Oh no, there are several forms of happiness here. This is what I want to say. Because there's happiness that's in your free time. I didn't simply say that there's such forms. And there's whole happiness. The whole happiness, it comes from adhesion. It comes from adhesion. Adhesion meaning I am equal. I have an equivalence with the Creator. I and the Creator are equal. I'm in the same state of the full wholeness, perfection, fulfillment. These are dimensions out of our world, not even close to what we can imagine for ourselves, but we can attain it here and now. This is the kind of happiness, the upper kind of happiness, that we won't speak about now because it's something and that's in the future to come. But the kind of this happiness is happiness as a result of being happy, that I've risen above my ego and I'm at the degree of Bina. Thus, I wrote it not that nicely, but maybe it's possible to understand, that it's the degree of Bina. That's already a good degree. It's a degree where I no longer belong to matter. I've crossed the vessels of bestowal. I'm outside myself. And there I have no limitations. All that has to do with my ego, I'm not impressed by it. It's as if it's not for me, as if it does not belong to me. I'm in such a... In my development, I've risen above all the desires, above my body, so-called, the body's called all my desires, that it's impossible that I'll feel bad as a result of something. anything that can bring me down to from happiness was lost. On the contrary, I feel myself in expansion, free. Even if I have nothing, I'm happy. Because the ascension above the darkness and emptiness of my kelim provides me with that. The question, if so, and really it's a big question, the biggest question, and with what the Kabbalists talk about, it's the question about our state, this happiness, what's going on with it, that we're in it. This is the time of preparation. People are coming, and they come with different questions, with different doubts. They don't understand what they're talking about. They have different frustrations. Your spouse doesn't want you to engage in Kabbalah. They themselves don't know. The path isn't that simple. A person has to study himself, study the Creator, study the worlds, get into contact with all these things. Has to open up the whole of reality in which he is. It's all a person undergoes, these different states. And here, we reach a question of, what is the origin of happiness? Where does it come from? So if it's an egoistic happiness, then as a result of a person getting a fulfillment. In our world, we see a baby, you gave it something, it's happy. You didn't, he cries. An older person, he has happiness from good thing deeds, bad things, I stole and I wasn't caught, I'm happy. Or maybe I did something good for someone, I'm happy. It depends what a person enjoys. But the happiness, it's always such that I fulfill my egoistically, my desires. A person is in a state where he has a kli, this is the desire. The desires. And these desires, he constantly wants to fulfill them with different fulfillments, especially food, sex, family, money, honor, and knowledge. That's what he wants to fulfill himself by. This is how a person grows. The bigger he is, the greater things he has. Honor, it's also control, of course, and envy, lust, honor. But in general, these are the aspirations by which a person wants to fulfill himself. But he wants to fulfill himself by all these, and here there is a problem that we can never fulfill ourselves this way. And why? Very simple, because the upper light, when it comes and wants to enter the desire, the pleasure, light. This pleasure is like a plus, and these desires are like a minus. And the plus and minus that enter each other, they short circuit. And it turns out that I always reach the greatest pleasures. Let's say a pleasure of sex or food or family or whatever. I get into that pleasure, I touch it and it disappears. Is there any other form of pleasure? No. What I want to say is, yes. Yes, of course there is. And we see it from our technology, the way we build the utilization of pleasure. If I'm in between, if I make a resistance between the plus and the minus, and then I can not short circuit them the same as I want to get a pleasure into my desire and enjoy, but I make a resistance. If I make a resistance, and it's not that simply I want to put the plus and the minus together, the pleasure and the desire, then I can get some kind of work here between them. Then it can exist and give me some nice result. Meaning here I'll feel life. Now what about happiness from good food, sex, family, money? almost doesn't exist. The greater our desires, the less I enjoy also food and sex and family. I enjoy it. I have pleasure from it, but it's a momentary pleasure. It disappears. I have to renew it every time. The moment it's over, I have no idea what to do. I'm in constant pursuit of feeling pleasure, and it stops. Feel pleasure, and it stops. Feel, and it stops. And all that because there's no resistance. Is it possible to say that in spirituality, the pleasure eventually caused me... No, it's a problem. It's a problem that eventually I get the pleasure. The way I get the pleasure in this world, it leaves me empty, and I come to despair, and I'm fed up, and I don't want anything. And then, okay, I come to drugs or something to get something against depression. That's that. It's because I can never get a pleasure that can remain and that I can add to it more and more. It always leaves. And as it leaves me with a greater hunger. Greater void, and I'm in constant double loss because I wanted to get 100 kilos of pleasure and 100 kilos of desire, and when they connected, they eventually built in me 200 kilos of a new deficiency. And thus, in our generation, we feel that instead of happiness, instead of fulfillment, we're reaching a state in which we're empty. And people are unhappy. 30, 50, 100 years ago. Why doesn't the fulfillment gladden people? Because it disappears very quickly. Because it stumbles upon the pleasure, stumbles upon the desire, and immediately disappears. Because the desire can't hold the fulfillment. That's the law. Now, what do we do in order to reach happiness? We have to do something else here. And this is the law that we come to. If I have a desire, my desire, and I have another desire, this is me and these are the others. If I get pleasure and pass it on to the other, and the other enjoys, as a result of passing it on to the other, I get pleasure, double pleasure. As a result of enjoying, giving on to others, and the others enjoying, because I, as a result of love, enjoy double. Like a mother that takes care of a baby and feels that the baby enjoys, so she has double pleasure. As a result of her pleasure, which she enjoys, and his pleasure that she enjoys. It's like we say that the bina, that light reaches it, and it passes this light through the Zahan Pin to the Malchut. Then as a result, in the Bina, there's a desire here, and enjoys fulfilling the Malchut, has a double desire. We see this from our world. If two people love each other, let's suppose ideally, I love someone. So if I love someone, the more I give him, the more I enjoy out of my vessels, through which I give, and his vessels, through which he enjoys, as it's twice. And then we have a very simple rule. You want to be in happiness, please become as one fraternity. Inside that one fraternity, start fulfilling each other. Each one should start fulfilling the others, such that each one gives the others. You'll feel a spiritual, whole, good life. If I, that I'm here, have a small spark, but as a result of coming to others, I have desires, everyone's desires, and pleasures, everyone's pleasures. And this is the rule, this is called love another as thyself, where through the love, I achieve, the whole, full pleasure. We say you have to love someone, you don't have to love anyone. You were given an equation, a formula of how to reach fulfillment in a state of infinity. So I have to have a think about happiness or fulfillment. That you feel that you achieve fulfillment, your unhappiness. Let's put it this way in the meantime. The Rabash says, it is known that happiness is a result of something, meaning if one has a certain pleasure, then that pleasure, it brings to inspiration, which is called happiness. And clearly, someone who doesn't have pleasure in life has no place for happiness because he lacks the factor called happiness. We see that small children are always in happiness. And the thing is that because of the smallness of their mind, they can enjoy anything. And in each and every small thing, they find pleasure, and that provides them with happiness so they can enjoy. Whereas a person, when he grows older, and he receives pleasure according to the extent to which he has grown, and this is the meaning of, if you add wisdom, you add pain. That's what we talked about 30 or 50 years ago. People enjoyed small things, and I'm not talking about 1,000 or 2,000 years ago. It all depends on the extent of development. Here's the method as to how to receive pleasure such that it won't disappear and as a result to be in happiness. I wanted to ask, how is it possible to nonetheless be happy in our world? What do you mean in our world? In the framework of the desires of our world and that we're born into, we can't ever do that. All of our desires in our world were given to us so that we will examine and see that we could never enjoy in them. And we in our advancement, thus we advance from one generation to the next in order to advance towards a state and understand that there will be no happiness and that the world will be immersed in greater and greater depression and greater emptiness. And the more we develop different games and additional means for fulfillment, nothing will help. Eventually people will throw away all these things. They'll simply feel that it does not fulfill me. Today, not yet. We're still running around. And also we're starting to grow tired of all the phones and the internet and everything. There's already a different phenomena to it. We start saying, what do I have as a result? How much can I confuse myself? it's good as if in the beginning that we start some game, but afterwards we think, so what's the use? Nonetheless, the will to receive that develops as a result. If you develop phones, different communication systems between people, by this you accelerate the development of the will to receive. You give a person the opportunity to very quickly understand what's the use then. What will I have as a result? He truly achieves that, and precisely through the technique, through technology. You want to fulfill him by technology, and he, by technology, finds out how empty it is. So we're coming to a generation that doesn't want anything altogether. We discover this in children and in their attitude towards life. So I don't understand why did they say that kids succeed in being happy. We're talking about small kids here. That up to a certain age, nature obliges them to be in happiness in order to give them the opportunity to develop. Otherwise, the child will not develop. Put him into depression. He won't budge. What do you want from me? And so on. You'll see that kind of child, God forbid. But nature has given kids or children the ability to enjoy everything in order for them to develop quicker. And after they reach a certain limit, then they start asking why, what for, and they stop moving and jumping. And they have to know in advance what's worthwhile, and they stop developing. You see, at a certain age, nah, I don't want it, it doesn't give me anything. And he starts stopping himself from development. The happiness, it actually helps a person's development. So there are different methods of love, different techniques. Yes, but you know, it's like crutches instead of legs. It doesn't fulfill us anyhow, and that's the problem. All this is in order for us to understand that happiness is a result of the fulfillment. The fulfillment can be only in bestowal and not in reception, because according to the law, plus can enter the minus or vice versa, but there will be a short circuit. And what we do in Kabbalah is we put a screen when some pleasure comes to me. Immediately, I calculate who can I bestow to. And then on condition that I have whom to bestow to, then according to that condition, I receive. And then my reception, it actually becomes bestowal. Meaning, the first time I ask who, and afterwards I examine, and then I see who I can give it to, then I receive, and my reception, it passes through to others. It's like in any cell in the body. When we have cells in the body, then every cell receives in order to pass it on to others. And then by this, the entire life passes through it. So the formula to be in happiness, it's the formula to be in fulfillment, and limitless fulfillment, of course. We're in the will to receive. We are the will to receive. If we are the will to receive, then I have to be full. Only I have to know how to fulfill myself. Thus, how is our wisdom called? The wisdom of Kabbalah, of reception. It is the wisdom of how to receive. That's it. How to receive and be in joy. The whole thing is the reflected, the returning life. How do I perform this action? Today, when we come to a global world where we're all interconnected into one system, then obviously, we have to be connected. Otherwise, we'll only get blows. Happiness can be only on account that I'm sure that others are satisfied. I'm sure that everyone's satisfied, then I'll feel satisfied. Otherwise, every moment I'm under foreign influence, who knows what and how. The world becomes very short, tight, hostile. And then all in all, happiness can be only on condition that we'll bond together. And then as a result, this is called happiness from good deeds, from acts of bestowal. Only by this can it happen. If I'm sure that through me I provide pleasure for other people, then they're interested in me egoistically, because I'm the source of their fulfillment, and thus I'm sure. I'm sure that I'll feel good as a result of being fulfilled and fulfilling them and being fulfilled. I'm talking in a very realistic fashion. In 10 days we have a very big convention. Do you think that this formula that you depicted will work at this convention? Yes, I really hope so. The convention, its theme is unity. If we connect between us, even a bit, and we start feeling that we belong to one mechanism, then in us begins to dwell the upper force, the upper power, happiness, and the feeling of godliness. Meaning the common life, that's called the creator, light, upper light. And then everyone is fulfilled as a result of belonging to one system, and through him necessarily pass influence to all the others. Meaning each one enjoys as if he is one creature, as if everyone is one creature and everyone is included. If I connect to myself, all the rest of the parts, they become a part of me. I reveal the Creator inside me and bond with Him. This is what it says in the Zohar. Divinity does not dwell in a place of sadness, but only where there is happiness. And if there is no happiness there, divinity cannot dwell. So at the convention, we create a place, and through that place, we will discover that the connection between us, and it doesn't matter, it could be big, small, a person who just started, or simply came in order to take interest, you'll feel in the connection between everyone that there is a kind of a special force passing here. Gladness, connection, love. Something that transcends him beyond his limitations, time, space, motion. And that fulfillment in general is called happiness. Meaning happiness comes as a result of me feeling transcension beyond the boundaries of this world. Then I feel myself belonging to eternity. And that is the happiness which Kabbalah speaks about. So in spirituality, you're happy only in transcending the ego. Because there is an unlimited state, of course. Any happiness only as a result of bestowal. Because while we bestow onto others, they fulfill through me. I fulfill you. That's a sign that I get the light from infinity, and then I hand it out to others. So I'm like a cow that wants to suckle more than, I'm like a calf that wants to eat more than the cow wants to feed. The more I give, those lights pass through me. The light can't stay in one place. It has to be in constant motion. It's like life in a body. It can't stop. If it stops, death. And then the more lights that pass through me to the rest of the souls. Accordingly, I feel my spiritual life. The more I connect to myself, the more souls I connect to myself, and I provide them, or I fulfill them. That's called the degree of my life. My degree on the spiritual ladder. And accordingly, the happiness. Happiness is a result of the lights passing through the soul. Yes. Mayu from Iltsilia is asking, what's the difference between the happiness of an individual and the happiness of the many? The happiness of the many is something very blessed. It's something much more beautiful and easier than the happiness of the individual. If we're talking about the spiritual kind of happiness that's beyond time, that doesn't disappear, that constantly grows and grows. So the happiness of the many, it's besides that I fulfill the others, and each one of them fulfills the others and me in return, then we double our fulfillment and the happiness in each and every one. And then I'm happy in the happiness of others, and they're happy about my happiness. And thus we double our inspiration. Thus we reach a light that's 620 times greater in intention. These are tremendous numbers. It's not simply 620. We learned that. Then the light that we had in the beginning of creation. And we can receive all that, we can enjoy it, and be happy about it in this world. Being here in this world, through such a connection, like at the convention, connection between us and the connection between us, we can discover such a light, such a spiritual intensity, such a happiness, that is on the level of the world of infinity, and a person has to discover that nonetheless in this life. Yes. Anyone can come to the convention and get all that pleasure? We're inviting everyone. No limitations. Both from overseas and from Israel. We had dozens of events all over the world. Also, we had many such in Israel. And all over the world, from North and South America, Europe, Asia. And also this year, we have another convention in Germany, and then in the States, and in South America. We're doing a lot. And also when we have a convention someplace, then people gather in many places all over the world and are together with us. Besides, about 2,000 people coming from overseas to our convention. So anyone can come, of course, without any limitations. And anyone can integrate. There are people who study and are in this process for 15 years, say, even more. And they are already on higher degrees. And there are people that will maybe come for the very first time altogether and won't even know exactly why did they come. There are always such people. And I'm very happy and I am envious of them. Because there's this thing called the one who acquires his world in 1 hour. They can come, incorporate with others. It's like a baby. Born now in the 21st century, then all that we've prepared for it in the 21st century throughout all of history, the baby gets and enjoys. Why? Because it's born now. It's it's there for him to use, and that's how it is with people that came for the very first time. They aren't ready, but since we've prepared all the infrastructure, the preparations, the connection between us, they come. They come between us like babies. They don't exactly understand what's going on, but they get everything. And therefore, I'm very envious of them because for me it was very hard and it cost me a lot of efforts until I reached something. And I see how I really... how easy it is for a new person to come, to bond, and suddenly has this understanding coming from thin air as a result of being included with the others. I'm Mike from the Modi'in group. We'll have the two groups from Tel Aviv will come to our city. I hope that it will be very gladdening. First of all, it's very very good to hear that one group comes to another. Tel Aviv and Modi'in are very different places, and every place in Israel is very differs in character. I'm very happy to hear about that. I think that it will always come out targeted. Don't think that it will be like the seed of the scornful. You're studying with us on a daily basis. You're with us on all the events. You study from the authentic sources. We learn everything from the sources that I explain, but it's always a source before us. We read, each one has a source before him, thus it can't be the seed of the scornful. To try for it to be as targeted as possible. And we have examples. We think something, eat something, someone reads an article. We talk about how to prepare for the convention that will occur 2 days later, a week later. And that's it, and it will go great, for sure. You'll see. We have to understand that the Creator, He is organizing, the upper force in nature is organizing everything. Here we're trying to do what we can as grown-ups, like children, like babies, and we're demanded of, to try, that's it. But the action truly comes from above, only through the light we learn and the wisdom of Kabbalah. That we have our world and the spiritual world. This is the upper world, and this is this world. And all that we have in this world, it is operated by powers that come from the upper world. And in our world, there is nothing that can suddenly do something of itself. No such thing. Everything is operated by powers. And either we can draw it this way. There's a big circle and a small circle. This is us here, and this is the upper world. And it completely encompasses us. What happens? What does Kabbalah teach us? How can we influence the upper world so that it will more systematically, more in a more concentrated fashion, will work, will influence us. We, if we're ready, by our willingness, we can influence it to work on us stronger, faster, in a better way. That's all that we do. Meaning, instead of getting blows from above, pressures in order to develop, we try to develop as much, as quickly as possible ourselves. And then we get those powers, instead of feeling bad, to feel good. And then from sadness, we reach happiness. That's the entire matter of happiness that we're talking about today. That's how we turn all the bad into good. Thus, we have to understand. We have to try. That's it. Try. Like with the convention. Are we that big that we... Who are we to that we perform such actions? We try. And it will unfold and get such intensity and dimension that as if we have no idea what's going on, as if we don't control this. There's that kind of feeling. It's always that way. It's always that way. Because if you try to head towards nature, to be in harmony with nature and bestowal, like these upper forces, then you're with them in a relationship, and then they start working on you such that everything becomes easy. Everything falls into place. The same with your connection, you'll see. There's someone to translate? Okay. Greg from France is asking whether a person who doesn't even study Kabbalah, can he come to the convention even for a day or half a day? Of course. Okay, he came for a long period. I'm very glad. But, of course, even from one evening, we have a cultural event, say, at the end of the day. It's worthwhile coming only for that. If a person can't do anything else, or for half a day, or for one day, worthwhile doing. One contact is also something a person doesn't know. We finish life, what do you have left? What result do you have left? What will be written there? It will be written how much you try to connect to godliness. That's what a person is asked. Did you expect salvation, meaning a correction, to achieve spirituality or not? Did you expect that? That's what you're being asked about. So, when a person comes that way, at least for a day, half a day, to a convention, it's an effort nonetheless. And it's also good, very good. Yes. Ami from Haifa describes a situation here that the friend is a new friend, and he feels that there is some kind of a group that will realize a certain nirvut. So he says, what should I tell that friend? True, we're talking about it very, maybe seriously. And people from the outside say, what are vut and what is there about it? He's right. He's right. It maybe frightens people. There's nothing about it. It's a convention of connection, as simple as that. People that want to come to the spiritual world have to bond. They have to be, as it says, all of Israel are friends. I, in order to achieve spirituality, have to be connected to something in a good attitude, that I don't hate people, that nonetheless they're close to me. We're all people. If a person comes that way, then he won't be demanded to do anything. Some are viewed like at the bank, so you won't think that really it's very pleasant, easy, simple, and gladdening. It's a shame, he could lose a lot if he won't come. I'm telling you, really, for sure he'll regret it. Good evening, I'm Nachshon from the Modi'in group. This convention will be my second convention. I was already at the Zohar for All convention, and really on the first day when we got there, we had this uncertainty, what will happen. And on the last day, it was the strongest moment was when we held hands and sang Mavir Banav. I remember that the next day I was already in I came to the campus. And Gilad told me, show what you drew us. It was a round drawing and houses. He said, what is that? I said, look, I felt that yesterday when we sang the song, Rav was like Joshua, and we were all like the people of Israel, and during the singing, like a prayer, we broke down all the walls and were in such a strong bonding between us. The gladness was so great. What a great excitement, and how we're expecting that day, only for it to start. Okay, thank you. But really, for people that are not, that don't yet, they're not yet to the, they don't study in the learning center, for them it's hard, and they're also kind of afraid to come there. They're grown-ups there. They're there for years. They don't understand that there will be thousands of others like them. And no one knows the others that much, and it's not that there's some kind of a group here. 6, 7, 8,000 people. What group, and who exactly feels, and who knows whom. But we're all with a smile, with a good attitude. No one puts pressure on you. No one demands everything. You simply come without any obligation towards anyone. You get in, and that's it. Because we actually want to give each and everyone the opportunity to be under the influence of the right environment. And we know that by this we realize man's only choice, where eventually, besides getting into an environment that will organize you for the convention, connect you to all the rest of the soul, so you start feeling the spiritual flow of life, there's nothing besides that. That's the realization of the wisdom of Kabbalah, as it says in the sources. A person can get on the site and see that. And thus it's very important, with an empty mind, simply come, and you'll see how this freshness, being free, will help you. The rest the environment has to do. Yes, Bensi. Up till now, we talked about happiness, that a person gets a big fulfillment and he feels happiness as a result. What about a happiness in which a person has to toil himself or perform some action in order to reach happiness? So he toils himself. Wait a second, that guy that comes, he doesn't want. Those people that ask, and what about those people that don't ask? For instance, I am in hate towards someone. I'm rejected from someone. And atop that, I have to build the connections of love in order to fulfill him, and that way I fulfill myself. So I have efforts here. I have to work above my ego. If I pass it through my ego, if I pass all this light through my ego, I pass it in order to fulfill the others. So I turn my ego into help against him, that he will work in a different fashion. Instead of reception, he works in bestowal. Works in bestowal. And for me, it's an effort. I have to convince myself that it's worthwhile, that through this or by this I pass the upper light through me to someone else, and then I benefit in my ego as much as it enjoys that the light passes through it. The light passes through it, so I enjoy it. On the one hand. On the other hand, the will to receive, which I fulfill, I ascribe it to myself. It becomes a part of me. And thus, I enjoy that too. So I have a light that returns to me, coming to me in this spiritual feedback. I connected it to myself. That's called love another as thyself. So this means that the righteous have the Mishneh, so-called, meaning that their will to receive is fulfilled, and they enjoy fulfilling the will to receive of the other, and also as a result they have fulfillment. Is there such a thing that a person is obliged to be in happiness, even artificially, that he'll try to gladden? Yes, this is something else. We stumble upon this and the work in the group. If I see that my friends are in some unpleasant conditions, hard conditions, There's this and there's that, because we want to transcend our ego. So I have to work on the importance of the goal. If the goal is important, then I don't care about anything. I'm happy that there is everything and it shines. Even though I'm empty, yes, but I have a good future. The future shines. And if I don't get that light, it doesn't shine back. And I also don't have the inner light at the moment. Meaning now I have nothing and the light doesn't shine. Then I'm in darkness. I'm suppression. Here, the environment can provide me from itself as a result of having connection. That's called arvut. If I can't pay, if I can't feel my property that I have something, they can say, you do. Look what you have. What we have, you have. And in that way, that's called arvut. I get fuel from them, power, and I advance. And afterwards, as I advance, I return. That's called turn to me, and I shall repay. And that's how we always are. And sometimes it's in darkness and light, in ups and downs, because of that mutual connection in the group. No one is in such a state, but always he has the opportunity to advance and be in happiness. Thus it says, it's a great precept to be in happiness. Dalbar says there are a few billions around the world that the Creator did not give them the opportunity to have the ability to think about the Creator even one moment a year. Thus, when you engage in the Torah, you have to be in happiness, because only through the happiness you merit to draw the reforming light. Meaning that if I have, nonetheless, I have a connection with the method by which I achieve correction, then as a result of having, of being along the way, I'm already glad about that. And also in the time that everything is revealed, we're in that, and our method and everything, and we can realize everything, and now really reach the world of infinity, happiness, limitlessness. So let's be happy. So we have an opportunity for great happiness on the upcoming convention. You're all invited, Rob Lightman, and we'll meet you on our next show. All the best.